Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Last September, folk singer-songwriter Lucy Kaplansky released a new album entitled Everyday Street.
30 years have passed, we're here again in the childhood yard, the childhood's end. We the branches, we the leaves, we the remain of our families. It was over here we planted a tree, a promise of our life to be. So we stood beneath an antique quilt, a multi-threaded canopy. E. Cummings' words were read, I thank you God for this amazing day. For the leaping green leaf spirits of trees, inside behind my eyes I prayed. Here we stand again on this changing ground.
Her first solo album in 6 years, Everyday Street is an intimate collection of tunes which share a picture of life, loss, and assorted types of love, romantic, friendship, and even pet-centric. Lucy, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Before we speak about specific songs on your new album, let's talk about the process by which you created it. You've put the whole thing out yourself this time.
Yes, this is a whole new... Well, there's a few things that are new, but that's one of the things. No record label. So the things that are different are it's only available through me, through my website or at my shows. So it's not on any other store website. That I might change that at some point, but I see no reason to right now because people are buying it. And most importantly, it's not on any streaming services. I have not allowed that. That's for a few reasons. Streaming, while it's a wonderful thing for consumers, has decimated CD sales. People simply have stopped buying CDs. And for someone like me who's made my living for a long time between doing shows and selling CDs, that is a major deal. And part of how I decided this was I actually got lucky and had a song, a recording of mine, on a Spotify playlist, a recording of a Bryan Ferry song called More Than This. And the playlist is very widely listened to. And as of, I didn't look this morning, but it has about 11.5 million streams.
Wow.
To say that that is not a lucrative thing is very accurate. That was not particularly lucrative for me. And if my feeling is that if that's as good as it gets, then I don't think I want to share this album with streaming services. Yes, there is exposure to be had, but I decided to just engage my own existing fan base, and I do have a fan base.
Of course you do.
Right, and encourage them mostly via social media, but also at my shows, but mostly social media, to actually buy it. And lo and behold, so far, it is working very well. And it has added back, I mean, in addition to the fact that it's incredibly gratifying that people want to buy it and that people have really liked it so far, it's gratifying to be sort of replacing some of that lost income that I used to count on. And now it's coming back. So that's the big thing I did differently this time.
When the streaming services kicked up, was it a sharp decline? Was it noticeable within a matter of, was it gradual, or was it like suddenly you could tell people weren't buying the music anymore?
That's another thing. I was always on a record label, so I don't even have an answer to that because I was never the one who was the direct beneficiary of my album sales. And I had a wonderful record company, Red House Records, honest, good people who love the music. But the way record deals are structured, it is that artists almost never see any of the profits other than what you sell from the stage. So I have no idea is the answer to your question. I think it was somewhat gradual over like the last 5 years. I know it started to decrease when streaming started, and now it's like virtually zero. So somewhere along there, it decreased, I think, fairly gradually, but it went down in a big way.
The original songs on Everyday Street are co-written with your husband, Richard Litvin. Had you written music with him before?
Yeah, so we've been writing together all along since I started putting out records, which is 24 years ago. He is not a professional musician. He's not a musician. He's actually a filmmaker and film professor at New York University, but he's an incredibly talented lyricist. And he and I just tried writing a song together, well, it was 24 years ago, mm-hmm. and it ended up being the title song of my first album. It's called The Tide. And we thought, well, maybe we should do more of this together. We have, to one extent or another, ever since, been collaborating on all of my songs. And he's taught me so much about writing.
The Tide, there's a sort of a reworking, a new recording of The Tide on this album. What made you want to do that?
How this album came together was a little bit of a sort of a process. I didn't plan specifically, oh, I'm going to re-record The Tide. But I did, one of the other things I did differently was this time was I actually sort of crowdsourced, what do you guys want me to record? I had 6 original songs that I thought were good enough for an album. I knew I was going to do some cover songs, and I thought, maybe I'll re-record a couple songs that I do very differently now. And I asked people on social media, and one of the songs that came up a lot was that song. And I know I do it very differently than I did when I originally recorded it in 1990, oh, I don't remember, 3 or 4. So I thought it would be interesting. And then, lo and behold, I liked the way it came out, which is always key to anything that goes on an album. There's stuff that doesn't make it to an album for sure. And there were several things that didn't make it on this album. And then the other thing is, I guess, it's just sort of a nice bookend because it was the first song we ever wrote together. And so it's kind of nice to revisit it on this album.
There are demons in the water. There are devils in the sea. There are dangers in the current when the tide goes out of me. I could drink you under the table. I could drink you out of town. I could drink you off the planet. Drink myself into the ground. I have nothing. I have nothing for you tonight.
You said you crowdsourced and you said social media. Did you also talk to fans at shows or friends or close advisors?
My closest advisor is my husband, and he certainly had ideas for me. Mostly not so much at shows. And partly because I made this whole album very, very quickly. I decided to make it the end of May, recorded it the end of June, beginning of July. It was done by the end of August. So I didn't actually have a lot of shows over the summer. So mm-hmm. I didn't really get to talk to a lot of people. So it was really primarily, and when I say social media, primarily Facebook. Facebook is the biggest sort of demographic, biggest social media form for my demographic.
With all the problems there are with Facebook, it is still a
yes.
good one for, hey, some people who know me, what do you think about this?
Exactly. I mean, yes, and I see all the problems, but it is a wonderful way for someone like me who doesn't have the power of a major record label, power and money behind her, to be able to reach people. It's like a gift that is basically free. And I'm very grateful for that.
Let's talk about some of the songs and play parts of them for the audience. I wanted to start where the album starts. Could you tell me about writing and recording Old Friends?
I met Sean Colvin, who sings on the song, in 1980. She and I met at a place called Folk City, this sort of iconic folk club in New York, where I was actually bartending that night. And I also sang there. But I remember I was behind the bar. And she and I were introduced by a mutual friend, Cliff Eberhardt. And it was open mic night. I tended to tend bar on open mic night, which is always a bit of a circus.
Sure.
And she got up and sang that night, and I got up and sang that night. Somebody watched the bar for me, and we became kind of instant mutual fans and friends. We hit it off. We started singing together a lot. She ended up producing my first album because she wanted to produce an album. She was just dying to do, to try that. And that was 1990. And then we kind of had a falling out and hadn't been in contact for a long time, actually many years. We saw each other again at a festival. I saw her from afar and I thought, I wonder if I should say hello. And my husband, who was with me, said, just go say hi to her. So I did. And it turned out she thought I was mad at her. I thought she was mad at me, and nobody was mad anymore. And it was all gone. It had been so long. So we are friends again, and probably in some ways closer than we were back then. So I ended up writing a song about that. I didn't plan it. It was just, I was very, very, very moved by the idea that I got this friend back who I thought I'd never be friends with again. So I started writing about that, and when I played the song for her, it took me about a year to write that song. She actually started to cry halfway through the song, and that, of course, made me cry. And she told me, I don't know if these are the exact words, but I think it was that this was the best gift anyone had ever given her. When I told her I was going to make this album, she said, I want to sing on that song. She calls it Our Song. So she gave me an incredible gift, which is that she sang the harmony on the song on my album. And I'm forever grateful, and that's the song, Old Friends.
I got a picture of you and me from maybe 1982. You were 27, I was almost 22. We're singing with somebody who isn't in the frame, smiling at each other, matching every phrase, suspending notes that don't belong, seconds and sixths, whatever we want, and it feels like flying, always landing somewhere new, weaving the shared tapestry, that's what you and I do.
Lucy Kaplansky and Sean Colvin singing Old Friends from Lucy's new album, Everyday Street. The next song I would like to share is Keeping Time. Could you tell me about this one?
We live in Greenwich Village. Our daughter is now going to be 16, but when she was young, I took her. I'm always home during the week. That's the way I've been run my life since I became a mother. I do gigs on the weekend. So I would take her to school every day, walk her to school and walk her home, walk her to the playground, take her to activities. And it's a neighborhood school, so everybody walked to school. All these parents walk their kids to school. And one of the fathers I would see almost every day was Philip Seymour Hoffman walking with his three kids. His kids went to the same school as my daughter. And then after school, hanging out in the schoolyard, different activities. They were on the same little league team. And I didn't know him. I certainly got a sense of him from what I observed. And he seemed like just a wonderful dad and a very nice guy from what I could see. And then when he passed away so incredibly tragically, it was a devastating, I mean, of course, you know, like the whole world was devastated. He was one of the great talents in terms of acting ever. But I think our neighborhood, our little community of parents, really, we kind of mourned in a different way because this was just a neighborhood dad. I'm actually getting chills telling you this. And I ended up trying to write about that, just what it was like to be part of a community with him, the parent community, and what it was like to lose him. And that, I have to tell you, that song took a really long time, like 3 or 4 years to write. I just kept dipping in and out of it, and I finally got it to a place where I thought it was good enough.
I take walks in the mornings when my kid's gone to school. I see parents walking children like we used to do. In the mornings for years, we headed down that same street. I'd see you and your strawberry blonde family. I'd see you scruffy and smiling after school in the yard, or the park on Horatio where the kids play till dark, or Sunday morning little league on the chilly Hudson Pier. Just the movie star father freezing with us in the April air. In the bright morning sun or late afternoon glow, we kept time with the rhythms mothers and fathers know.
Keeping Time by Lucy Kaplansky. Next, tell me about Janie's Waltz, please.
So, we got a beagle puppy 2.5 years ago. You and I have talked about this, Sarah.
We have. I've seen pictures. I love her.
Yes. There are a lot of photos of her on my Facebook page. And I had never had a dog. Of course, we got, you know, ostensibly got a dog for our daughter. But I'd never had a dog. So I just didn't understand what it meant to be connected to a pet the way I have found myself connected. I mean, I literally kind of fell in love. I was just saying that this morning. I was holding on to her and petting her, and I just kept saying to her, I love you, Janie. I had no idea how deep and kind of what a profound spiritual connection you can have to your pet. She's not a pet to me. She's like my child. And it's funny because, you know, my daughter now is going to be 16. She's incredibly independent and she gets around by herself. She doesn't need me the way she used to. And we have a wonderful relationship and she's a great kid, but it's different. And I didn't even know that there was a hole that needed to be filled. And then suddenly Janie came along and she's my child. She's my child who will never grow up and move away. And that, I don't know, that ended up, I don't remember how I started writing it, but I was very moved by that idea that I'm so not only in love, but so connected to her and feel so deeply about her. So I ended up writing a song about her.
I gaze in wonder as you stir from sleep. I whisper your name and you come to me. I kiss your head and breathe you in. So glad as another day begins. We head out for a walk on our everyday street. We can get to the park across Waverly. But each flower, each leaf is calling to you. Every day I discover the world with you. We got nowhere to go and no one to meet. I'll follow you wherever you lead on our everyday street.
Lucy Kaplansky's new self-released album is entitled Everyday Street. It's a wonderful record, and I've loved talking with you about it. Thank you so much, Lucy.
Thank you so much for having me.
LucyKaplansky.com for more information. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.